Hello and welcome to another episode of this podcast series. Today we're going to be discussing the NBA finals and predictions for it. We also got a special guest, my brother, coming on here again.
Hey, what's going on? Thank you for having me. I'm Alex. Yeah, again, thanks for having me on again. It's a blast to be here.
Of course, thank you for coming on. And we're going to be taking a look at the top region on the west side, the Jazz versus Grizzlies. I'm going to go with my prediction first. I got the Jazz in five. I got the Grizzlies stealing one game in the series. When I heard the matchup of the Jazz versus Grizzlies, I originally thought Jazz in four, one versus eight is a tough game for the eight to come out on top. But I think after seeing the Grizzlies versus Warriors game, I think the Grizzlies will definitely steal a game in this series. So that's why I have them winning one game. But I think they could definitely steal another game if Ja Morant shoots the way that he did against the Warriors. I mean, he's a 30% three-point shooter on the year, which is not very good. But if he gets his three-point shot going and controls the entire game like he did against the Warriors, then I think they're going to be very successful. I mean, you know, he's got the passing ability. He averages 7.4 assists. And then you got to talk about Dillon Brooks when you look at the Grizzlies. Dillon Brooks proved against the Warriors that he is one of the elite defenders in the NBA, at least perimeter defense-wise. And his scoring ability has really been upped this year, and he's averaging 17.2 points per game. So he's definitely becoming more of an impact player, and he was probably the main reason why the Grizzlies beat the Warriors and why they got the eighth spot. And then you got Jonas Valanciunas. He is elite big man in the league, probably one of the best offensive rebounding big mans in the league, and you saw that against the Warriors. He completely controlled the glass, and he's just an efficient shooter in the paint. I mean, shoots 60% from the field. So he's just solid big man all around, and I think he could end up giving Rudy Gobert some troubles because I think Rudy Gobert is a very overrated defender. And then you got Kyle Anderson. Kyle Anderson really impressed me in the game against the Warriors. He dominated on the defensive end, and he just kind of plays at his own pace, which is unique in the NBA. So I think he could end up giving the Jazz some trouble. So that's why I have him winning one game. But again, the Jazz, I think they're too much. You got Donovan Mitchell, averages 26.4 points per game. He's one of the best players in the NBA, one of the most elite two guards in the NBA, and he saw in the bubble last year, if this man gets hot, then they are a very tough team. And you got Rudy Gobert, who might win Defensive Player of the Year this year, so he's known to be a really good defender. I personally think he's a little overrated on the defensive side. You can abuse him in the pick and roll, but he's an elite rim protector, and I think if he can just stay around the rim and find a way to fight through those screens, and then I think the Jazz are going to be a tough out. And then you got Bogdanović. Bogdanović is an elite shooter. You've seen some games where he gets extremely hot. He shoots 39% from three, and he averages 17 points a game, so he's a good addition for the Jazz. And then you got Jordan Clarkson, who really elevated his game this year. I think before this year, his career high was around 20 points per game. I remember him hitting it last year in the bubble. And this year, he's averaging 18.4 points per game. So he's really stepped up his game, and a huge reason why the Jazz are so successful this year. And you got Joe Ingles, again, elite shooter. Got a lot of guys that can space the floor on this team. You got Mike Conley. Mike Conley controls the game. Also an elite shooter. You saw that in the three-point contest this year. And you got Royce O'Neal, who's also another really good three-point shooter. He can also play defense. He's a 3-and-D type guy. So, and then final guy mentioned is Ersan Ilyasova. He's had some games where he got hot from three-point line. So it's another guy that they can throw in the mix, get some buckets for them. So I think the Jazz are going to be tough out, even despite how good the Grizzlies looked against the Warriors. So I got Jazz in five.
So for the Grizzlies and the Jazz, I think this is going to be a better series than I think most people are anticipating it being. I think people are going to be disappointed that the Warriors aren't in because Steph Curry has been amazing this year. But the Grizzlies really stepped up and played a really good game against them. They had a really good game plan. So I think it's actually going to be decent because I think the coach of the Grizzlies, Taylor Jenkins, is going to come in with some sort of game plan to try and limit the Jazz. Because the Jazz like to chuck threes at a pretty high rate. Dylan Brooks is going to probably be guarding Donovan Mitchell the whole time. I think for him, this is going to be a lot easier of a matchup than it was for him guarding Steph Curry. But I think Mitchell is going to be harder to, like against the Warriors, he used to just deny Steph Curry the ball. I don't think you're going to do that against the Jazz because Donovan Mitchell's not as high of a level of a player as Steph Curry. And the Jazz share the ball a lot more than the Warriors do. So I think that'll kind of hurt the Grizzlies going forward in this. But I think Jaren Jackson Jr., a guy who didn't really play in the fourth quarter, might give the Grizzlies a chance because he can kind of limit what Rudy Gobert is able to do defensively because he can stretch the floor, shoot from the outside. And when a guy can do that, you can't really play Rudy Gobert in the paint because this guy's just going to be hitting open threes the whole game. But I think at the end of the day, I think the Jazz are just too talented. And they're far more experienced. I mean, the oldest guys on the Grizzlies are like 27. And like haven't really played in the playoffs very often in their careers. I mean, their best player is in his second year. He's younger than I am even, so it's kind of crazy. But yeah, I'd say the Jazz probably win this in probably about six games, I would say. I think the Grizzlies might be good enough to steal a couple, but I don't see them winning this series.
Next up, we'll go with another Western Conference series, the one right below the Jazz and Grizzlies, the Clippers versus Mavericks. I mean, we saw today the Mavericks stole a game today, but I don't think that's going to change my opinion on this series. I got the Clippers in six. First, we'll talk about the Mavericks and why I think they're going to steal another game in this series. I mean, everybody knows who Luka is. Luka is one of the rising young stars in the league, and he's only 21, averaging 27.7 points per game, probably a future MVP in the league. He's also averaging 8.6 assists. So he's a name that's going to be around the league for a long time and might end up being the face of the league soon. So Luka Doncic, the series is never out of question when you have a guy like him on your team. And then you got Dorian Finney-Smith, three-point shooter around him. Another guy that will hit open looks, shoots 40% from three. He only averages 9.8 points per game, but he's a guy that could make an impact in this series and get hot from the three-point line. And then you got Kristaps Porzingis. He's honestly probably the main reason why I have the Mavericks losing this series is because he gets abused on the defensive end. As great as an offensive player as he is, he just gets abused in the pick and roll. And in the end of game situations, you might need to have Kristaps out of the game because teams will abuse him. And I think the Clippers have seen their advantage with Kristaps on the floor. So I think he's going to get abused. And then you got a Josh Richardson, another guy who comes in, hits threes, and just give you buckets. Tim Hardaway, again, another guy that can come in, hit threes, and give you buckets. Then Maxi Kleba, a big guy that can stretch the floor, which is huge in the NBA nowadays. So it's a huge addition right there. And then you got Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson has really taken his game to the next level. He's averaging 12.6 points per game this year. He's extremely efficient from the floor. So he's a guy that could end up making a huge impact in this series along with Luka. And then Trey Burke. Trey Burke in the previous series or previous year, he really stood out in the bubble. He showed his offensive talent. I mean, he might not be the best defender in the world, but he can definitely light it up from three. So it's another guy I think can make an impact, and that's why I have the Clippers winning two or the Mavericks winning two games in this series. And then now to look at the Clippers, even though they took the loss today, I just think the Kawhi Leonard, Paul George is just too much. I mean, Kawhi Leonard averaging 24.8 points per game. You know the name. He's one of the most elite small forwards in the league. You could argue that he is the most elite. And then you got Paul George, one of the most elite two guards, and you could also argue he's the most elite two guard. He's got a lot to prove this year as well because last year he got a lot of slander in the bubble for playing really bad. So he's got that chip on his shoulder that I think he's really going to take his game to the next level. He's averaged 23.3 points per game in the regular season, but I expect him to average 30 in the playoffs. And then you got Marcus Morris, another guy that's just a bucket. And Serge Ibaka, a good defender who can also give you a bucket. You got Reggie Jackson, another bucket, can control the game, beat guys off the dribble. And then you got Patrick Beverley, Really good defender, gets at people's shorts, and he's constantly working hard, something that's really underrated in the NBA. And then they got the addition of Rajon Rondo. You saw the impact Rondo had last year with the Lakers, so I think he's going to be a huge impact and a great leader for this Clippers team to overcome their first loss in the series and come back and end up winning in six.
The Clippers and Mavericks is like a very interesting series for me. Because we just got to watch them last year play, and Luka was amazing. And the Mavericks actually seemed like they had a chance to win the series before Kristaps Porzingis went down with an injury. Now they have him coming back. It might be even more interesting to watch them this year in like a rematch. I still think the Clippers are too good right now for the Mavericks. I think Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Paul George can't. There's no way in my head that he plays as horribly in the playoffs as he did last year. He's just too good to not to do that again. And plus, they added a couple veterans like Serge Ibaka and Rajon Rondo into the mix to kind of help them when things aren't going their way. So I would say the Clippers probably win this in six. I think the Mavericks are still going to steal a couple games because Luka Doncic is amazing. But I think at the end of the day, I think the Clippers win this series.
Now moving on down the line in the Western Conference, we got the Nuggets versus Blazers. This one I went back and forth on because if the Nuggets had Jamal Murray, I would have the Nuggets winning this series. But with Jamal Murray out, I got to go with Blazers in seven. And the reason why I think that this game will go into a seven-game series is because of the probable MVP, Nikola Jokic, averaging 26.4 points per game with 8.3 assists as a big man. He's got elite numbers, and he just kind of controls the entire game. And then you got to look at the depth that they have. The addition of Aaron Gordon is huge for them. He's a guy that's a freak athlete, and he can get hot and end up having a game where he ends up scoring 30 points. He only averaged 10.2 points per game, but he's a guy that can really light it up if he gets hot. And you got Michael Porter Jr., who I think if he was on another team, he would probably be close to an all-star, if not an all-star. He's averaging 19 points per game on the Nuggets, but he's a guy that can really, really dominate a series. And I think you're going to see that with this Nuggets versus Blazers series. And I think they're going to extend it to seven games even without Jamal Murray. And then you got Gary Harris. Gary Harris can light it up from three. You got Will Barton can light it up from three as well. You got Austin Rivers is another bucket. He'll work hard for you too. You got Campazzo, who's been getting a lot more minutes for them lately. And he's a guy that comes in the game and is a really good distributor, something that they need to get Michael Porter Jr. involved, to get those bench guys involved. And then PJ Dozier, you saw him last year, he showed strides of being a dominant player in the league. So I think he's going to have a solid series. You got Paul Millsap, just a veteran guy that come in and lead your team. Jermichael Green, got to show him some love. Bama player. He come in the game and light it up as well. All guys that can get hot. So I think that's what makes the Nuggets so tough. But then you got to look at the Blazers. The Blazers with Damian Lillard, one of the best shooters in the league. I put him at number two. Averages 28.8 points per game. Definitely one of the top players in the league. And then you got CJ McCollum, an elite shooter, elite scorer, who's got an insane hezzy. He's a hezzy god. So he's a guy that will give you buckets. And then they got the addition of Norman Powell from the Raptors. Norman Powell looks really solid on the Blazers, averaging 17 points per game, and I think he's going to really help him out in this series. So I'm excited to see the strides that he makes. And you got Carmelo Anthony, the veteran. Carmelo is always a bucket. No matter how old he is, he's always a bucket. Can't stop him in his mid-range where he gets in his bag. He's toughest mid-range scorer. And then Yusuf Nurkic, one of my favorite big men in the league. This guy's an absolute bucket, and he'll play defense. And he works hard for you. He's a guy I really like, and I think he's going to end up doing a really good job on Nikola Jokic, and I think he's going to give Jokic troubles when Jokic is playing defense on him. You got Enes Kanter that'll come in for Nurkic and get buckets. Kanter can't play any defense, but he's a guy that could come in and make Jokic work on defense. And Robert Covington, he was in the 3-point shootout. So just an elite shooter there. You got Anthony Simons, the dunk contest champion. You got Derek Jones, another dunk contest guy. Rodney Hood. No, Rodney Hood got traded, but Anthony Simons, Derek Jones, two insane athletes that can come in the game and give you buckets. Anthony Simons normally shoots threes, but he'd come in and light up. He's had some games where he looks like he's going to be an elite player in this league eventually. So I think the Blazers, just the Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, Norm Powell, I think those three are really going to have a good series, and I think it's going to allow them to win this series in seven games.
The Nuggets and Blazers is going to be a pretty solid series, I think. I mean, it's not going to be the same fireworks that we had last year when the Nuggets played the Jazz, and it was Donovan Mitchell versus Jamal Murray. And it was amazing to watch them because Jamal Murray's hurt this year, and we have Damian Lillard over here, who's, I think he's probably the second most fun player to watch in the NBA, right behind Steph Curry. I go back and forth on them sometimes, but Damian Lillard just is amazing, and I think it'll be interesting watching Carmelo play against the city that drafted him in Denver. So he might have a really good series out there because he's probably played there more than anyone. But I think the Blazers win this. I tend to pick teams with the best guard to win games. And with no Jamal Murray, I think Damian Lillard, I don't see a guy guarding him very well through this whole series. Plus Norman Powell being added. And then CJ McCollum actually getting the plays here too. They're too good at creating shots for themselves that I don't know how the Nuggets stop them. And a center typically is less valuable. I know Jokic doesn't always play like a kind of a center. He has the ball in his hands a lot. But I think the Blazers have too many guys that can go and create for themselves. And I would say the Blazers probably win this series. I keep saying every series is going to go six. So I'll say this one goes seven just to be different, even though I kind of feel like it's a six-game series and the Blazers are going to win it. But yeah, just so they're not all ending in six games, I'd say the Blazers win this in seven.
And then the final game of the Western Conference first round is Suns versus Lakers. I got the Lakers in six. I honestly debated making the Suns win this series because they've had such a good year. But I think LeBron is going to be too much for them, and I think he showed that he still might be the best player in the NBA still. And I think he's definitely the best player left in the playoffs with Steph Curry being eliminated. Steph Curry was the only one that I think was challenging him, at least for me. So I think LeBron is going to take over the series, and he just controls the game and plays at a whole nother level to everybody else that I think is going to be a challenge for the Suns. But I do have the Suns stealing two games in this series, and I have that because Devin Booker, one of the best scorers in the league. You saw a couple years ago he had like 70-something points. He's a guy that can light it up. You got Chris Paul, who just controls the whole entire pace of the game. He only averages 16.4 points per game, but he averages 8.9 assists, and he's an elite passer, and he's a tough guy to guard because he's got such a good mid-range shot where he kind of fades back, so it's hard to block. You just got to hope that he misses it. And then you got DeAndre Ayton, one of the most underrated big men in the league, averages a double-double, 14.4 points per game and 10.5 rebounds. He's extremely efficient when he does get the ball. He shoots at 62%. So I think that's a big man that'll be a lot of trouble for the Lakers to guard. And you got Mikal Bridges. Mikal Bridges is a guy that stepped it up second half of the season, averages 13.5 points per game. He's a really, really good shooter, 42% from three. So he's a guy that can light it up. And then you got Jay Crowder, another guy, 3-and-D, work hard for you. Cam Johnson, he's another three-point shooter. Cam Payne, who's started to take some strides in his game as of late, looking like he's a really good offensive threat, so that's why I think I'm going to have them taking the Lakers to six. But then you got to look at the Lakers. You got LeBron James, the king. averaging 25 points per game, 7.7 rebounds, 7.8 assists. He just refuses to age. He's a guy that even still looks like he's might be the fastest guy in the NBA, which is crazy to say. And then you got AD. AD is fragile and he's injury prone, but he is one of the best big men in the league, if not the best big man in the league, averaging 21.8 points per game with 7.9 rebounds and 1.6 blocks. He's a guy that can definitely take over a game and win a game by himself. So to have two guys that can win a game by themselves is huge for them. And then the addition of Montrezl Harrell came from the Clippers last year. He's a guy that just works extremely hard and will get you those extra chance points. And he's a guy that will play hard on the defensive end. He's not the tallest guy, but he definitely works hard and he's tough. And you got Dennis Schroeder. Dennis Schroeder is a point guard who plays at his own pace and gets to the bucket pretty well. And he's a guy that averages 15.4 points a game, so he's going to be solid. And then Kyle Kuzma has those games where he looks like he doesn't belong in the NBA, but he does also have those games where he looks like he's got potential to be a star in the league. So he averages 12.9 points per game, and he looks pretty solid. And then the addition of Andre Drummond. Andre Drummond is known as probably the best rebounding big in the entire league. He averages 10.2 rebounds and 11.9 points for the Lakers. So that's a huge addition to get a big guy that'll come in and rebound and doesn't really care about scoring the ball. He just gives you those second chance points. They got Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, a guy that can stretch the floor, hit the three ball, a guy that can get hot. And then you got THC, Talen Horton-Tucker. Looks like he's going to be pretty solid, got a lot of potential. He attacks the basket really well. You got Ben McLemore. He really stretches the floor really well. I think he's going to really help the Lakers because he's been – every game I watch them play, he gets hot from the three-point line. And you got Alex Caruso, an elite defender. He gets up in guys, and he's a guy that just made a name for himself on the defensive end. So I think the Lakers are going to be tough out, so I got the Lakers in six in this series.
The Lakers and Suns. It's tough for me because I find myself rooting for the Suns a lot because of they have Frank Kaminsky, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, a lot of guys that I really like. But I'm also like, I think LeBron is the best player to ever play basketball. So it'd be really hard to pick against him. The injury concerns of the Lakers is what I think give the Suns a chance, but I don't think the Suns are experienced enough to beat the Lakers. The Lakers didn't even play well at all. Like they played maybe the worst game I've seen them play against the Warriors, and they still won it, even though the Warriors, I felt, played pretty well. I think when it comes down to it, I think LeBron's just too smart and too good to lose to the Suns in the first round. I don't see a way they make it happen. For them to make it happen, Mikal Bridges has to shoot the lights out and really step up into like the third best player on that team. And he has to really be effective. Cam Johnson's got to play really well. And the Ayton's got to be able to hold his own against Anthony Davis. I feel like they just need too many things to happen to win the series. Like they need Anthony Davis to not play well. They need LeBron to have off a couple games. And that things just typically don't happen. I'd say the Lakers probably win this one in five. They maybe lose the first game just because I think they're still trying to get healthy. So they might not come out to play all that hard. I mean, it could go longer. It just depends. I think the Lakers, though, can win this whenever they really feel like it. And
staying on the Western side, we got, for me, the Jazz versus Clippers. This one wasn't really a debate for me. I think the Clippers are going to win this one in six. I think the Kawhi Leonard and Paul George is going to be too much for the Jazz. And I think they're going to abuse Rudy Gobert in the pick and roll in this series. I do have the Jazz still in two games, but I think Paul George is, like I said earlier, is really going to have a chip on his shoulder in this playoff time around. So I got the Clippers in six.
So now in my bracket, I would have the Jazz playing the Clippers. I think the Clippers win this series. Again, I just think they're their best players are too good to lose to the Jazz. I think they have too many weapons. Like, Ibaka can play in the paint, and Rudy Gobert offensively doesn't really bring him much to the table. Like, he's a really good regular season player, but when teams start making adjustments and they start picking apart your weaknesses, you kind of can't play him at times. It's rough for him. He can't guard guys on the perimeter. He's not quick enough. And I think that a Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are just going to be, they're just going to be getting constant screens trying to get that matchup. And I think they're just going to take it to him. I don't see the Jazz winning a game in this series. I would pick the Clippers to probably sweep it, barring anything crazy happening, like another Paul George meltdown. I don't think the Jazz are good enough. I know they're one seed. I know they played well the whole year, but I just don't think they have enough to win this kind of game or any games against the Clippers. I think the Clippers are too good for them, honestly.
And then moving down to the other side, on the Western side, we got, for me, the Blazers versus the Lakers. I don't think this is going to be a very good series. We saw this last year in the first round. I think the Lakers won in five, I think it was. It might have been six, but I got the Lakers winning in five this time around. I think the addition of Norman Powell will help the Blazers a lot, and I think that they're going to be a better team than they were last year. But again, Lakers got better. They got Andre Drummond, and they got Montrezl Harrell. Those are two big additions for them. I know they lost Rajon Rondo, but those two additions are going to help them a lot. And LeBron, obviously, is the king, and he's the GOAT. So it's going to be a tough game for Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum to come out on top on that one. But I have them winning one game in that series, so Lakers in five.
Next up would just be the Lakers and the Blazers. It's kind of a rematch of last year again. It was a matchup that happened in the first round where a lot of people thought the Blazers were actually going to be able to win this. But then when they won, it was like they would start calling the Blazers bad, kind of just to kind of go against LeBron's legacy for how tough the bubble really was. I just see the same kind of thing happening again. Norman Powell is like a big get for the Blazers because he creates his own shot better than Gary Trent ever did. But I just think that the Lakers have too much. I don't see a guy on the Blazers that can really stop Anthony Davis. Whereas the Lakers can kind of switch everything that the Blazers might be able to do. Like when Lillard comes off a screen, most teams don't have a big guy that can keep up with that and move their feet with them. But Anthony Davis is able to do that. LeBron's able to do that. Like there's too many ways they can go in their lineup to be effective against the Blazers. So I say the Lakers probably win it in five. I mean, I like the Blazers a lot. I really want them. I want them to be good. I want them to make it farther than this. But I just think that the Lakers are too good again. I don't know. It just feels like another year where they're going to be pretty unstoppable in the playoffs.
So for me, that leaves the two LA teams, the Clippers versus the Lakers. I really went back and forth on this because I do think that Paul George is going to really step his game up again. And you got Kawhi Leonard. So this one was really tough for me, but I'm going with Lakers in seven to move on to the championship game. And so I got the Lakers in the end taking the Western Conference Championship against the Clippers. I really like LeBron, and I think that LeBron is going to end up getting a chance to get another ring, and I just don't see a way that LeBron is going to lose early on in the playoffs this year. So I think he's going to repeat and go back to the finals. And so I'll see what happens with the Eastern side. But as my prediction for the Western side.
Yeah, so finally we'd have the Lakers and the Clippers, the Battle of LA, something we've all been wanting to see since last year, where it seemed like the Clippers kind of had the team that could stop the Lakers. But then they kind of had a meltdown against the Nuggets. They have some leaders. They got a couple players from the Lakers that they added on their team. I think this is a hard series to pick just because I think both teams are so talented. I think this one for sure goes seven games. And it might be what makes an Eastern Conference team win it this year is the fact that just by the time you get there after going through the West, like you've played a lot of tough teams and stuff, it's just – you kind of battled out kind of in the conference finals in this. I think the Lakers still win it. I don't. Again, it's another one where I just don't see guys who can match up with Anthony Davis. I think Anthony Davis is too different of a player. Like, he's super tall, athletic. He can handle the ball. He can shoot. He can, if you're Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, he can post you up because he's stronger than you and bigger than you. Like, he's just too many things he does well. Though Kawhi Leonard in his history is a pretty good stopper of LeBron, so we'll see what happens there. But I just think Anthony Davis is the, it's like an Anthony Davis versus Paul George matchup, and Anthony Davis is way more consistent in the playoffs than Paul George has been. Paul George kind of has a meltdown a couple times, and it's just, yeah, so I think the Lakers go to the finals. And if I had to bet, I'd probably say they repeat and win it. I just don't know how anyone in the East is really going to compete with them other than the Nets. But usually when your team comes together like that, the first year is not the year you win it. It's usually the second year. So, yeah, I think the Lakers are going to make it. I probably think they win it all.
So that is going to be it for the Western Conference side. I'm going to be doing the Eastern side in another podcast, so make sure to stay tuned for that and be on the lookout for that post on Twitter @Wallen_Tanner. So I'll see you guys in the next one.